Minnesota basketball fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. He's Aaron. I'm Chris. And we're here to talk some Timberwolves basketball. Now, since the last time we spoke, last Monday, the club is 1-3 in the last four games. We did mention how, you know, we have to put on the table a potential that we won't go 2-2 and 3-1 because we've been used to these nice stretches, right? And 1-3 had to be put on the table. And sure enough, unfortunately, it happened. But, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of interesting how this stuff is all playing out. So we're going to kind of, you know, discuss and recap minorly anyway some items from all those games. Obviously losing a very winnable game at Dallas. And then Phoenix as well. That was at home, but that was a damn good game. And Phoenix just outdid us to close the game. It was nice to get that Dallas victory, especially the way we got it after almost doing it on the road. And then we just got a good old-fashioned beatdown, 134-112. Sometime in the third or in the second quarter, the game is just out of reach. She never came back. We had some nice stats and stuff in the second half, but it was pretty much garbage time, unfortunately. So it is what it is. We'll talk about that then. You know, we'll look forward to Toronto, Denver, and Houston. Obviously, that Denver game, well, all these games are important. It'd be nice to win them all. But, you know, at Toronto is not going to be easy. At Denver, if we win that game, Toronto, man, that would be a big game for that sixth spot. And there's been some developments there as well with Steph Curry go down with the injury. So we're going to kind of discuss minorly anyway about, damn, you know, we've been talking about this sixth seed. It's tougher to get in the seventh seed because you got to win your way in. But, man, the matchup at, you know, 2-7 and 3-6, man, what do you do here? Sounds like a Minnesota thing to happen in sports, doesn't it? Anyway, so we're going to talk it through. And just talk about, you know, D'Lo has been having some issues with his three-point shot. Ant's having a little issues of late. Could it be because of, you know, the mental stuff about not trusting your knee all the way? The finishing, though, has been a little struggle. Overall, though, Cat's foul problems. You know, 2 weeks ago we mentioned it. We talked about it like, hey, let's just take a gander. And sure enough, it's reared its ugly face. So we're going to talk it all the way through here at the Living in Loserville podcast. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and rope-a-dope and download the show there or listen to the browser. You don't have to do that. If you don't want to, you can find the Ropeadope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, all sorts of places. We're also part of the Grueling Shoe Sports Podcast Network. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're happy, not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. The prices start as low as $69.99 a month. It's the best of live TV and on demand. No annual contracts, no hidden fees. If you upgrade to the Choice or Ultimate package, that gives you 3 free months of HBO Max, plus you get to enjoy regional sports networks with no additional fees. If you go all the way to the Premier package, that gives you Showtime and HBO Max already included. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. So, you know, we did talk about how we gotta realistically look at these four games. In the 1-3 is something we got to put on the table now. We've been getting spoiled with these winning streaks and coming back, you know, talking about, well, we won all the games or we were 4-1 or, you know, that type of thing. But it happened. We went 1-3, all good, you know, teams, no doubt about it. But yeah, 1-3, we knew we had to at least bring it to the table, and here it is.
Yeah, I mean, I got a little overconfident, I feel like, but at the same time, you're right, we're on a bit of a winning streak, and I thought that 4-0 was possible, and we end up 1-3. It's, you know, bittersweet. You could have had maybe one of those games, possibly two, but I thought, you know, considering the competition, it wasn't all bad. You know, at least we got one out of it. We still got a little stretch here to go, like you said, so keep our heads up. But 1-3 is not great, and some of the problems you mentioned earlier with Cat, and You know, and then the upside with the Steph Curry injury. So this will be all interesting stuff. We just don't really know, you know, the state of the squad at the moment. And, you know, I don't think reeling is a word you want to use because of the quality of competition, but you want to say, you know, you got to get at least another one of those games, Chris. 2-2 would have been a much better pill to swallow.
Yeah, you said it right there. 2-2. We were talking about how that would have been great, and it damn near happened. I mean, if you go back to that Dallas game, it's tough because there was about probably 5 or 6 wide open shots that was created, and they didn't knock them down. And a couple just, you know, when you have like a decent lead, which they did in that first game against Dallas, on the road at that, it's you got to take the other team's going to make a run more than likely, especially when you're playing a top level team. And we didn't take advantage of building enough cushion when we had the time to do it. There was a stretch where Prince, who's been really great from three, missed back-to-back corner threes, then missed what was a tough layup, then got an offensive foul. And it's not just to bring up Prince and that's it. D'Lo, many other people just missed some open shots. And, you know, when you're playing a good team, like I said, they're going to take advantage of it. They're going to make a run. But to have that cushion, it sure would have helped. And I'll say this, they did come all the way back and actually get up with right around 3-something left, 103-100 after Pat Bev had a steal and hit a three. But just down the stretch, you know, they killed us. It was 103-100, and then it was 104-103 with back-to-back drive buckets at the end of the shot clock. It was even just back-breaking. And it was just one of those things where the offensive rebounds and some of the missed threes, and it just overall just couldn't quite close the gap. So, you know, when you look at games like that, you go, okay, you know, we played pretty damn well. It didn't play our best. We did not play our best and still had a chance to win that game. If you look at the fourth quarter of the Suns game, you know, it was right there, you know, makeable. And I hate to point out Prince, but the Timberwolves in general, makeable back-to-back nights like that, makeable shots. And we were even, I'm not going to say fully in control of that Suns game, but we even had a little bit more of a cushion, and we could have created, like I said, even more. But in that second half, the offensive rebounds that we gave up, and Booker just started going off on us. The big got off on us, well, Ayton. But, you know, the fourth quarter, they just closed us out. They were a team that made the finals. They're a better team even without Chris Paul than us right now and you know, for the foreseeable future anyway. But that's what – it's kind of a mixed blend. Like you said, it's too, you know, too early to be like, oh, dude, the whole thing's coming apart. I am totally with you there. But at least we were right there toe-to-toe with them. We just couldn't get over the hump, man.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you nailed it right there with, like, you know, it's the quality of competition. And these teams are going to make runs. And specifically in that Phoenix game, you know, they made a run led by Booker. And, you know, they're going to be tough. They're going to come at you. Even Dallas was making runs. And I thought we could have had that first Dallas game, Chris, just like you. And that would have been, you know, swept of Dallas coming down the stretch, which would have been nice. We, you know, got them back a little bit later. But, you know, the Phoenix game was a little bit telling. But it wasn't, you know, a blowout or anything. We just kind of got smacked in the face and couldn't come back, which is what we got used to seeing for years with the Timberwolves. And we just got to get over the hump there. I think that there's finishing issues with the squad against better teams. But I mean, I think that's a learning curve, wouldn't you say, where you got to learn to keep battling through whatever they give you. And, you know, there's some bad fouls, you're right, and some bad defense, but this is where it's at now. You're not bottom dweller anymore. Now you're fighting for a playoff position, and this is something that you have to get down. Now, are you going to win all these games? Absolutely not. But you're going to be in them and you're going to deal with runs. And that's something you just have to learn to do. And I think they are, but, you know, we have to give them a little bit of space and time to, as I said, get on that learning curve. And hopefully it's not a, you know, maybe it's a quick curve and not a long curve here where they can kind of figure out how to punch back when they get punched.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And some of that goes on adding that cushion when it's your time to make the run. Some of it is, like you said, just, you know, closing games no matter what's going on. And like you said, taking away certain things. You know, all those teams that we played, Dallas, Boston, Phoenix, obviously Dallas again, they're all top tier. That's three out of the top four clubs or five clubs in the league on defense. And they were taking away Cat as far as driving way more than we've seen. And it's one thing to try to take it away if you're any team in the league, but if you're trying to take something away and you're a great defense team, odds are you're going to be able to take it away. So that was part of it. They've done a little of that to Ant too, saying, hey, we're not going to let you drive as much. You're going to have to do something else. And something else is, especially when it comes to Ant or Cat, is hit knocking down those shots just in general. But Cat's been wonderful pretty much the whole season. We've seen, you know, so many different offense, defense, you know, him going faster right away, going quicker when the double team comes before it could even get set. Clearly, against the quality teams, when they try to do that, have a guy lingering right behind the guy. So it's basically a double team for the drive. You know, I think he's just going to make that adjustment and just shoot right there at times, not every time, but at times. But I say all that to get to the foul stuff too, because if you look at that first Dallas game, 9-minute mark in the third quarter, 4 fouls. If you look at the Phoenix game, 6 minutes left in the third quarter, 4 fouls, then picked up his 5th, like a minute or so, probably 3 minutes into that quarter, when you had just sat out the rest of that time in the fourth quarter. And even then, that Dallas game, he picked up the 4th early in the 3rd again, but it didn't matter because at that point, the whole team just went nuts, and that third quarter basically won the game, and they really never got back into it. But, you know, these foul problems, man, you hate to say it, you hate to, you know, like I mentioned, nitpick or anything like that, but it is beyond nitpicking, and these are the quality teams, and we're not going to get lucky like we did against Dallas. I mean, we played really well in that game and hit shots and we blew them out. But it's just, you know, 3 out of these last 4. And so it adds up to, like, I don't know, 9 out of the last 11 or something. He's been picking up a 4th foul early in the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, I mean, that's really where I'm focused on right now with the squad is, like, look, through recorded NBA history, if you've got a big man with scoring potential, they're going to attack and try to get him out of the game with fouls. And so far that's been overly successful for the opponents. And I think that's something that has to be addressed. Now, the other side of that is with Russell's scoring problems, so to say, you know, he's that third piece. So if they got Ant shut down and they found a way to get Carl in some foul trouble, or he's just having an off night, that's where you got to get the scoring from Russell. And it's unfortunate that his shot's not falling the way it has, but I think that'll come back around. But back to Cat again is, you know, this is not rocket science here. If I was coaching against the Timberwolves, I'd say, you know, let's get Cat in foul trouble and see what happens to him. And that's what's been happening. They got to find a way to get through that. Now, is that Cat playing better with fouls, you know, or is that not getting the fouls? It's hard to say. He's going to get the fouls, I think, until he finds a way to play defense without fouling or to learn how to play with them. I just don't, it's a double-edged sword here. You know, what do? You've got a 30-point scoring big man. He's the centerpiece of your offense. Teams are going at him, driving to him. He's picking up some, you know, like some, I won't say tic-tac fouls. I haven't been screaming at the refs too much lately, but he's got to learn, like Ewing had to learn, like, you know, Olajuwon, those guys had to learn, one, not to foul, and two, how to play with fouls. And that's something, you know, hasn't been as important because the team hasn't been in contention. But now that they are in contention, this is something you're going to see repeatedly until they get it fixed. And do I have the magic bullet to fix it? I don't think I do. But it has to be some combination of learning to play defense, maybe another defensive big man is another option, and learning to play with fouls. You got to know if you've got 4 fouls in the beginning of the third quarter, you've got to know how to avoid getting that 5th. And I just don't know if he's quite there yet. I think he'll get there. but I just don't know if he's quite there yet.
Yeah, and you know, you're always going to get some mediocre calls, right, or bad, or just straight up bad calls. But it goes both ways, because there's plenty of times where, you know, the calls go the other way with them too. And it's not necessarily the calls per se, although some nights it is, but it's what he does after, right? It's okay, that was a bullshit call, but what are you going to do? Get mad and go follow someone? Go right away and follow someone? No, you're not, you know, and that, or you are actually, but you shouldn't, you know. That's where you have to back to that focus of, all right, dude, that shit happened. Get over it. Take it out on the court in a positive way, instead of going and grab a wrist and then going, what the hell? You didn't call it over there. Yeah, but dude, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? We need you on the court, period, point blank. But let's get into D'Lo, because we talked about, you know, Ant, some of his scoring or shooting woes. It's really adding up from three-point land. And just like we talked about Ant last week, how defensively he's doing good things, he's playmaking, he's doing other things. So it's not like he's playing bad. D'Lo's definitely doing a solid stuff on both ends of the ball, but the three-point shooting of late, if you look at the last 10 games, it's bad. It's been bad. And we know D'Lo's a volume shooter, and so sometimes during a streaky game, he could just shoot his way out of it. But being the third option on this team, you know, when it comes to just shooting the amount of shots anyway, it does, you know, you could see it early in the season, the first maybe month or two, where he's still trying to find his groove. Then he found it for about a month and a half, 2 months, and the numbers started going up, and he was playing, shooting great. And they're still coming out on him when he shoots, you know, because of his track record. But you do need to knock those down. And, you know, if you look at it, not all that long ago, it was 19.2, his scoring average. And this shooting drought, which is mostly what it is, because from two, he's doing okay for what he normally does. It's down to 18, so that's a point and a half. And that's something that we noticed with Ant as well, where it's like, but him with D'Lo, it's three-point shooting. He's just having struggles with it. And, you know, some of those stats you can look at with both him and Ant, where you're like, well, some of these games they didn't get back in the fourth quarter. They could have went, you know, 3 of 5, you know, in that quarter, but they didn't even play in it. So you look at the minutes, you say, yeah, some of that is that, and some of that is the per-game average going down in the shooting or whatever. But a good chunk of it is just not knocking it down. So we do need D'Lo to hit his shots, and when they're there, and some of them have been in the moments that we're talking about, where that type of stuff is when you got to make your run. And D'Lo is a big part of this team. And like I said, the assists have been there during that time. The assists are higher than his season average. And that's fine. And maybe that's the volume shooting and the fact that we're asking him to be not 100% a pure point guard, but the most point guard he's ever played in his career. So I think that this is kind of a transition year in that, and I think we've seen the ups and downs of that. But either way, it's got to improve.
I think you're right. I also think that the transition of being more of the facilitating point guard and not just a volume shooter, so to say, is a big – but, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there are times when we're going to need the volume shooting and you've got to hit your shots. Now, you're right, offensively – you know, as far as assists and, you know, getting the team in and out of the defense and, you know, hitting mid-range shots and getting to the hoop, he's been pretty good. But the three-point shot is, you know, it's, you got to have that in the arsenal. And if you're not, you know, and usually his shot's so pure, it has been for a couple of months. And, you know, so it's hard to see it not drop. But I think he'll get it back. You know, it's kind of like a golf swing, you know. It's going to – there's a hitch, and you got to work it out. And I'm sure he's working on it, but you know, he needs to, we got to have that third prong, particularly when it's, you know, the upper echelon defensive teams that you're playing coming down the stretch. You're going to learn a lot about yourself offensively going up against these guys. And I think not only is it the rise in the level of defense that's causing a little bit of offensive sputtering, but also, you know, I'm not going to say that there's pressure on him, but you're coming down the stretch, you're trying to hold that sixth seed. This is not a position this team has been in ever. So, you know, we got to also, I'm not trying to make excuses. That's just a reality check. That's how it is. And Like, you got to feel your way through these things, and that kind of waiting all season to get to this point to kind of see how it would go down, Chris. Like, you know, what does this team need? Where are we at? That type of thing. And when you face a Phoenix and you face a Dallas and you face Boston, who's just an aggressive team defensively, you've got to know what you have and what you don't. And I think we're getting to see that now.
Yeah, in that the last six games, Boston has been up by 20. I think they've won by 20 points or whatever. So we added to that. That was just, like I said, rough. Basically, sometime, I don't even know, a handful of minutes in the second quarter, it was over. And, you know, we mentioned Ant last week, D'Lo this week. That does go back to Cat, though, because then all of a sudden they can cover up on those guys more, too. You know what I mean? So we don't want to blame those guys just in general. But Ant, the last chunk of games now, for the most part, is his three-pointers coming back, his shooting's coming back. And some of that is just whatever it was, a stretch of just poor shooting, whatever. Because, like I said, he's also improved in his playmaking, saying, all right, this isn't my night, I'm going to play make. And defensively, he's been better than I think most of us thought he could be at this point, watching him last year. But the finishing at the rim has been an issue, literally about anywhere from 3 to 5 times in the game the last maybe, I don't know, 6 to 8 games. He hasn't been finishing. And they even talked to him about it post-presser, I think 2 games ago. They talked to Finch even said, you know, it's been multiple games now. And he says, you know, a couple of those, it looked like he could dunk. He could have just dunked it instead of trying to go on the other side and make some really fancy layup. I wonder, especially when it comes to finishing at the rim and that explosion, does he mentally trust his knee? He says he's healthy. In one of those games, I think it was against Dallas, he said that he was winded, basically fatigued at that time, and that's why he chose a layup. Instead, I wonder if there's something, you know, because when you have a little injury, even if he didn't have surgery or anything like that, but I wonder if it's something mentally where he's not 100% trusting his knee to explode, because we know he could explode. He's shown it multiple times. You think some of that's mentally here, that he's just got to get over, you know, and finish, because we know he's a great finisher.
I think it might be. I also think, like, do we know what the knee injury was? Perhaps he's on a, you know, the speculating, of course, but maybe he's on like a.
Well, you know what it was.
What was it?
It was, I can't pronounce the guy.
Okay. Well, I thought
it's
maybe.
It's a form of tendonitis, but it's not tendonitis.
Okay. All right.
It's jumper's knee is what it is. And it needs rest, basically.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it could be a trust issue with the injury. I think that's a possible thing. You know, I was hoping that he was on like a partial tear and he knows it and nobody else knows it. And he doesn't want to push it and to make it a full tear of an MCL or an ACL or anything like that, knock on wood. But that's where I think you'd get into like trusting stuff. I don't really know, Chris. I mean, his finishing has always been one of his stronger points. I mean, amazing finisher at times. So, he's a kid that'll dunk when he can. So I'm not too worried about that. So I don't know what to put that on. I think he might have nailed it. I just don't know. You know, he could just be trying to ramp up his conditioning too. I mean, that's a thing. He's out for a while and maybe he's not in as fit as he was. But yeah, that needs to improve, because he is a great finisher. So I'm not worried about, he's creative. He's, you know, artful when he goes to finish. So it's not like he can't finish. It's just, you know, maybe he's pulled back a little bit on what he wants to do, but we need him to do that. It's a big, you know, component of our offense. And he's so fun to watch do it. So, you know, he hasn't took off for any big dunks. He has, like, in transition, but I haven't seen him go up and face anybody yet. So I think maybe it's a little bit of both, Chris, maybe conditioning, maybe a little bit of not trusting your knee. And I think that's about it. But, I mean, I'm not worried about him too much at this point, as long as you start to see it incrementally get better. And I don't know if I haven't been watching close enough to him to see if it's incrementally getting better, but I've seen some good finishes and I've seen some where you're like, well, that was a bunny. You can make that. And I don't know if he feels confident at it. And you'd hate to see some kind of lingering doubt go into his head, especially this time of the season.
Yeah. Like you said, I'm not worried about it. It's just something that we're kind of talking about. Hopefully, There's Malik Beasley with an injury to his left ankle, a lateral ankle sprain with some swelling. It's not, you know, it seems like the major injury was avoided, but it is going to take some time to get back, whether it's, you know, just a high ankle sprain and whatnot. Obviously, he's been on such a run. Sure, he started the first 2 months like, what are you doing? But he's been on a hell of a run, especially off that bench. And even when we've had some people miss time, he's been key starting as well when Ant missed time and whatnot too. So, you know, we have to kind of put that in the back of the head. Obviously, McDaniels, we're still waiting for him to come back. Hopefully he can come back soon. I think in some of these games where we play these top-level guys, McDaniels have been missed defensively, and also now Beasley will be missed offensively for the time, especially those three-point shooters that, you know, stretch the floor for everybody. All right, three road games starting Wednesday. It's nice we got a little Monday-Tuesday break, 2 days off in a row. At Toronto, at Denver, and at Houston. That Houston game Sunday night, so that'll be three games before next Monday when we speak again here on the podcast. What do you think here, man? 3-0, 0-3, 1-2, 2-1. What are your thoughts? Because the Beasley thing kind of sticks with me a little bit. Luckily, we have Noel, though, you know, who's maybe not the shooter he is, but he's definitely the scorer Beasley is. What are your thoughts here going on this three-game road stretch, which, like we said, is very key? If we get that Toronto, you know, we said this multiple times, right? If you get that first game, that first road game, it really opens up everything. And damn, if we weren't right with that Dallas game, right? Last time, it's like, man, if they would have got that, it just, it really levels you out. We would have went 2-2. But that, if you get that Toronto game, boom, on Friday at Denver, which that could be such a key game. What are your thoughts on this three-game road trip?
Well, I mean, I like the game against Houston. I don't know what I think about the Toronto and Denver situations. Denver's always been pesky for us. And, you know, Jokic, I see foul trouble for Cat. Toronto, also tricky just because they're a good squad. And these are three road games, so that it puts that into the equation too. I like it probably, you know, 1-2 here, Chris, with a possible 2-1 hinging on the Denver game. I think we'll lose to Toronto. I think that we can fight against Denver, but they're pesky, and I just don't know. They have a weird knack of beating us, and Houston, I think, will take that one. But so, you know, obviously I'm not going on a limb here to say 1-2 or 2-1, but I really think it's probably looking more like 1-2.
Yeah, right now with Denver, we are up 2-1 on them in the series, but they do have a knack to win tight games. They a couple times here, they've been down big in a game, came back, and that would have been like, oh, we would have moved up on them by half a game and all that. And they just found a way. Coaching Jokic, they got a system in place the last chunk of years. They're missing, you know, their second best player the whole year. And that's why a lot of people think, you know, that he should be MVP because, you know, of where they're still at. No, they're not a top four seed, but considering they don't have one of their key guys, that says a lot about them. So 1-2 kind of feels like it's going to happen, but that goes with that. If they beat Toronto, I have a lot of confidence that they'll go 3-0. So I'm right there with you. Speaking of this whole, you know, Denver's coming up and whatnot, and if we beat Toronto, all of a sudden the Denver game, it's tight. It's a game where you can get a full game on them, catching up or just passing them barely. All of a sudden, here we go. Curry is hurt somewhat minorly. He's not for sure out for the season or anything like that. But Memphis is going to get the second seed. There's just no doubt about it. And, of course, it's that catch-22, right? You know, we match up better with Memphis. But if Curry comes back and it sounds like he's going to return, and they do have Draymond back now, and he's going to get some rust off from being out like at least 30 games, if they nestle in that third spot, all that, you know, that sixth spot that we wanted so bad, all of a sudden it matches up 3-6, and more than likely Golden State, or I guess you could still put Utah. I mean, I guess you could say Dallas, too. They have a chance at it. But But or you go the route where you probably – well, you do probably have a better chance of beating Memphis in a seven-game series than you do with Curry back with Golden State. But the catch-22 is you got to win that first game at home against the Clippers, who we don't match up great with. And, by the way, Paul George is back practicing for a while now. He's playing 5-on-5. It sounds like he's going to return just in time for the Clippers. So that's that catch-22, Aaron. It lines up to be a Minnesota sports theme right on the button, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Everybody comes back to play us. That's just how it was. Even in the Purple People Eater podcast, we have the same issue with teams. Somebody's been out for 6 weeks, and all of a sudden, right in time to play us. Look, I don't want to see a healthy Golden State squad. It just doesn't. They have so much playoff experience and years of you know, knowing how to work refs in the playoffs and all this stuff. We're just new to it altogether. I don't like that matchup. And Memphis, you know, I don't love either, Chris. They're a gritty defensive team, you know, with some good players. You know, might say we match up better, but I just don't see, you know, Pat Bev helps us out a lot, and maybe he can, you know, crank up the aggressiveness of this squad, but they're just not quite there to match a Boston or a Memphis in a series. So I'm thinking, you know, which sides of that sword would you like to face? I guess if you feel like you don't match up well with either of them, I'd rather face the better team and learn. So I think I'd rather see Golden State in that position. And maybe you steal a couple, you learn what you need to do in the playoffs from a savvy veteran club, as opposed to Memphis. I'm not saying they're up and comers, but they're kind of up and comers.
Oh, they are.
They might not know the ins and outs of playoff basketball, so they wouldn't really set an example for you to really look at. Whereas Golden State would give you something to say, oh, you know, I see how that goes. I understand that. And maybe that's a plus for future seasons.
Yeah, I just look at who we match up better with. If you look at this year, we're 2-2 with them, and one of them we blew a huge lead. I'd rather play Memphis in a seven-game series, best of, I should say. You're going to learn a lot anyway. Getting to the second round, the confidence level you'd have, you know, it's kind of like in boxing, your first time you win a championship, they say percentage-wise, it's like you always knew you could do it, but once you get there, you automatically almost every time become a tad bit better of a fighter because, you know, sports is so mental. And to have a better chance to get to the second round or even just deep in a six or seven game part of that series, I think that would pay off just as well. And they're one of the best defensive teams. I think we could still get a lot out of them, although I see what your point is.
And also, on the flip side of that, Chris, we have played nothing short of outstanding against Golden State in most of our matchups with them. Have we won them all? No, but I think we're at least won half of them. We always play well when we go to their place, and we play them well with Curry and without here. So I think the track record of playing Golden State, I think we match up pretty well, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back a few years where we beat them in a year where they were awesome and stuff like that, but it's, you know, it's not necessarily the same team, obviously. I don't know. I mean, we have split with them as well, but, you know, one of the last game we beat them, they didn't have Curry or Draymond. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I think we match up better. Well, I think they're just a better team than Memphis. You know, like you said, experience, the actual matchup. Not to say that I think we get swept by Golden State. I think we can compete with them, but to your point, no doubt about it. But I would definitely rather match up with Memphis. But like I said, that comes with the catch-22, because all of a sudden, well, that means you have to win the first game. And then if you get to the second game, you got to win that one. And then you're going against the Suns with Chris Paul. So you're like, well, either way. So that would be even more to your point of learning, or just the same thing with Golden State, because, you know, we would learn a lot even if we got swept. I think we'd win one of those games, to be honest with you, because most of those games we've been in, we just lost to them. Because Chris Paul usually, or one of their guards usually say, okay, it's time, we're taking over. And obviously the big went off in this last game. Ayton just went off on us, and some of that was cat on the bench. Some of that is the lack of size in general. Matchup-wise, I think that's one of the keys is, would you rather have Draymond or some of these other guys that can match up, you know, with Cat? Or would you rather have, you know, I'm not sure, you know, either way we're going to get out offense rebound. And yeah, that's one of the arguments against Memphis, you could say, is they really, that last game we beat them, but they set like, I think it was 27 or 28 offensive rebounds. It's the most of anyone this season. So either way, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, it's starting to play out like we're going to be in the play-in game, I guess, bottom line. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we go back to the early 2000s and the Garnett teams. I mean, we always drew the Spurs. It was just always the Spurs.
Or the Lakers.
Or the Lakers. But, you know, I guess when you get to playoff time, Chris, there's not going to be a favorable matchup, so to speak. I mean, it's going to be, you know, splitting hairs either way with different squads. And I guess, you know, obviously, you know, I do stand on the point I made and that you also doubled down on was that it's the experience factor of Golden State that's the problem. You know, it's not I mean, we're just rookies when it comes to playoff basketball, and these guys have championships and years of experience, and playoff basketball is different than regular season NBA. Then yeah, I'm not going to even have that argument. It's definitely different, and you need to be experienced in it. Now, Memphis, like you said, my fear about Memphis is not just the offensive rebounding, but they've just been gritty, and it just seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will, but we have problems with true gritty teams still to this point. And as big of problems as we had last year, no, but we still, I'm not going to say we're soft or anything like that, because I think it's improving, but we're not, I wouldn't call us gritty quite yet.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. It's basically off this year, you know, how the game's gone. And we've had maybe it wasn't 20 point in that one game, but we're 2-2 in one of the games. We did have a 20 point. I don't think we had one in the other one, but it went overtime. So it's like either way, we're screwed on offensive rebound. I think that that's the best shot we have of winning a series is against Memphis. Doesn't mean we will, but if it's Phoenix or if it's Golden State, I'm going to pick Memphis because, you know, to get that other experience, we can get that in the second round. You know what I mean? Yeah. We'll get that in the second round. Let's get, you know, I just think it can really fire up your fan base if you got a better chance to win. And not only that, but maybe, you know, someone taking a little less money as a veteran to come here and think he can be a difference maker as a defensive rebounder in a block, you know, shot blocker and whatnot. But we'll see. We will see. We'll be back next Monday. Any last words there, sir?
No.
All right. We'll be back next Monday. Let's hope we can go 3-0. But it does, I got to admit, it does kind of look like we're locked into that seventh spot, like it or not. All right. We'll be back next week. Peace.